The Lansing School District has a new roadmap. After several months of opinion and data gathering and more than a dozen public meetings, the 9-member school board recently adopted a new 5-year strategic plan. The plan includes goals and a framework to reach those goals. Specifically, it lists 5 broad priority areas. And to learn more, we welcome back to Current State the president of the Lansing School Board, Peter Spadafore. Peter, welcome back.
Good morning.
As well as district superintendent Yvonne Kamal-Kanuel. Many thanks.
Hi.
Our original intent today was to have a discussion focusing on the strategic plan, and we want to get to the strategic plan by all means, but both of you had op-eds in yesterday's Lansing State Journal, much of which specifically involves the future of Eastern High School and some of the older Bill Sexton and Otto as well. Let's spend some time on that first. There has been resistance to and support for the idea of eliminating a high school in Lansing. Going back years, enrollment has shrunk drastically. The way ahead now involves a cost-benefit analysis process regarding these older buildings. Peter, what will the cost-benefit analysis determine exactly?
Well, to answer your question just plainly, it'll determine how much it will cost to rehabilitate these buildings as fully functional 21st century learning environments. But what they will help us do is inform a bond process. Part of the strategic plan calls for improvement and investing in our learning environments through a bond proposal. The bond proposal has yet to be defined in terms of scope and cost, so we'll be taking a look at our 3 oldest buildings, Otto, Sexton, and Eastern High School, to determine how much those buildings would cost to bring them up to the 21st century learning environment standards as part of that bond proposal. Mm-hmm. So we'll be asking the superintendent to name a bond committee that will digest the information and then make a recommendation for what the bond proposal should look like. We've had a number of studies in terms of right-sizing the district, in terms of academics being placed where the superintendent's in the middle of a very ambitious academic restructuring plan that I believe we're starting to see the fruits of that labor as early as last year. But we have had a lot of information put together, and now I think we're ready as a district and a board to start making decisions on what the long-term future looks like. That's why we put this 3 to 5 year strategic plan together, so our decisions are informed for 3 to 5 years based on our specific goals that have been spelled out through a very laborious process, as you mentioned, with a lot of community input.
Will the results of the cost-benefit analysis really be the linchpin here in determining what to do with Eastern?
I think it'll be a very important factor. Obviously, if it comes back and says it's going to cost 1/3 of an entire district-wide bond, it's hard to sell something like that. So we really don't know at this point what it would cost to put Sexton, Eastern and Otto up to 21st century standards. So we're taking a look at that. We've employed a firm called Jones Lang LaSalle that will be analyzing our facilities and giving us that feedback.
You lined that up, Yvonne?
Yes.
Jones Lang LaSalle?
International Facilities Assessment Organization. They do this kind of work throughout the world, located in Washington, D.C. as a hub.
What's the most desired outcome of this cost-benefit analysis from your perspective,
Yvonne? From my perspective, it's to have some hard data. It's really important for us to have hard data, information, hard evidence, and to sort of stop with the anecdotal suppositions of what it might cost to refurbish any of our schools. I think it would be really important. Like Peter said, it's one of our first step towards identifying what it would cost for the district to begin the process of a bond proposal to the entire community, not just the east side, but the entire Lansing mm-hmm. community.
If the study were to find that it's generally not economically feasible to update the eastern building, what would you regard the options after that?
There's a number of options. I guess it depends on what the study says Sexton and Otto would cost and those types of things. We have also discussed the option of adding on to Pattengill and making that a comprehensive high school. It was built for a much older population than is currently attending school at Pattengill. So there's a number of options. And, you know, Eastern High School, there's no plans to close it this year. It'll be open for this school year.
You made the point yesterday that this needs to be or will be a landmark year for Eastern High School.
Well, absolutely. There is no any discussion about closing Eastern next year or the year after on the part of the district's decision is just preposterous, because we have 1,567 students there, and there's really nowhere to put them. And every conversation about closing sends another scare around the community, and that's just not, it's not real, and it's not reasonable. And right now, because of the state priority school status for Eastern, we are in the midst of a very bold seismic change at that school in terms of its academic process. And we hope, expect, and believe that it will be successful for our students, and therefore Eastern will be taken off this priority list of schools that could be taken over by the Education Achievement Authority pending legislation.
An op-ed written by two Eastern High graduates that appeared alongside yours in yesterday's Lansing State Journal alleged the following. It referred to the apparent mindset of Lansing school administrators that administrators are seemingly plotting to tear down Eastern High. Are you anticipating that the cost-benefit analysis will find updating not to be worth it? Are you already there, Peter?
I don't have the data on that. And there's no plot to tear down Eastern High School out there. And
I tried
to address this in my editorial as well. There's a lot of baseless accusations in this opinion letter that was published yesterday. And we are trying to stick to the facts and trying not to distract the students and the staff at Eastern High School from the goal of improving student achievement over there. You know, there are two separate conversations going on. One is our facilities conversation, and that's happening in part with the bond proposal that was recommended by the strategic plan. The second one is the academic performance in that building, and the superintendent's staff and she are working tirelessly to implement new changes. In fact, a change to Eastern High School's governance model that we hope will serve as a model for state schools, for schools around the state of Michigan. If this is successful, we believe it'll be a pretty good model to put in place in schools that are having academic problems to stop the takeover of the Education Achievement Authority in those buildings, but give students and staff an opportunity to decide their own fate.
Peter, you wrote yesterday of Eastern's obsolescence. You pointed out that, quote, successful programs in that building, the Eastern building, will follow the students to any new building. This presumably refers to the idea of expanding Pattengill. The larger takeaway from your piece seems to be that the Eastern building may survive, but not in its former role, as traditional role as a high school serving hundreds and hundreds of students. Is that what you meant to communicate?
I wanted to communicate. There's a lot of fear out there that if Eastern High School does end up closing for one reason or another, whether it's academic, financial, or facilities, the programs that we all have come to love and respect at Eastern High School will not be terminated alongside that site. It's possible that the International Baccalaureate Academy could be expanded somewhere else, or any of the other successful programs going on at Eastern could end up following the Eastern students to wherever that site ends up being. Nothing is predetermined yet. We are still looking at the cost, but the reality is that building may close for any number of reasons. But if it does, the successful parts that exist at Eastern High School will continue wherever that campus ends up being.
Peter Spadafore and Yvonne Kamal Kanul are our guests. Peter is the president of the Lansing School Board. Yvonne is superintendent in the district. Yvonne, tell us more about the Eastern model. You've got a lot on the line at Eastern in terms of changes, and you alluded to this just a minute ago. Just briefly, what's the centerpiece of that? Is there a centerpiece to your new approach to Eastern High School,
success? Thanks for asking that, Mark, because it's really important. There is no state guidance on what to do with a school that happens to be in this particular situation other than the takeover by the Education Achievement Authority. That has not been expanded to include schools outside of the 15 that are in Detroit Public Schools. So Instead of waiting for guidance, we've decided that it would be really important for us to establish an alternative governance board. That means it's a group of people, 7, 8, 9 people that are to be identified, are being identified as we speak, to sort of oversee the operations at that school. They will be reporting directly to me as a superintendent. That's a centerpiece for the work that we're doing there. The other really important thing is the extension of the school day. We're going to a 7-hour period. Another thing is to block schedule our math and English language arts so that kids get an extended period of time, students get an extended period of time in both of those content areas. And possibly one of the more revolutionary ones, although there are school districts around the state that do this kind of work. I've spoken to Don Weatherspoon, who's an EM over in Pontiac, that we're using external, we plan to use external teacher evaluators. Not have them be within the building, but have external experts come in and do the teacher evaluations alongside the building principal. So this is a pretty revolutionary for us to do this in Lansing. Of course, it's really important for us to have the Lansing Schools Education Association to be...
They're on board?
They do understand the leadership of that organization, definitely understands the sense of urgency and the situation that Eastern is in. Eastern is in its own category of what I have authority to do at that school. It is outside, really, of much of the union input because it is in its 12th year of not making state identified targets. It's in its last year as a transformation school. It could easily become what the state determines as a turnaround school, which means that 50% of the staff in that school will need to be replaced. That's the turnaround model. So this is high stakes right now for Eastern, and we don't really have the time to be talking about the chatter about the facility on the side. This is high stakes for the students and teachers and staff at that building this coming year.
Do you think when the first day of school arrives, do you think that the faculty and the staff will be on board with the changes that you want to implement?
Many of these changes were actually recommended by a team of faculty that got together this past year. They're called the E-Quilt, and it's a team of teachers that came together and said, listen, we want to do some major changes at this school, and here are some of our proposals. What do you think about them? And they looked revolutionary, seismic, and I think we're moving forward.
Are there specific data targets that Eastern needs to hit this school year?
They need to be out of the bottom 5% of state academic achievement. They need to be out of that bottom 5%. That's the target.
Okay. Otherwise, the state steps in.
Otherwise, the state can step in, and I have very limited options.
Let's get back to the cost-benefit analysis. When... in an ideal scenario, when does that take place?
Timeline
is what I'm trying to get at.
We've engaged the company. Mm-hmm. Their consultants, I think, are in town this week to help us put that together.
Okay, but that means you would have the results by when?
Sort of late September is what the October. Expectation
oh,
is.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The end of next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's spend a little bit of time on the 5-year strategic plan.
Sure.
The idea here is, here's where stakeholders want to be in 2019, 5 years from now, and here's how we get there. Is that an accurate way to summarize the strategic plan?
That's very accurate. In fact, it also it's a board tool because a lot of times a board can get caught up in the day-to-day minutia of a school district, you know, bell times, all those types of things that are really administrative tasks. So as a board, we decided we needed to find a way to, you know, justify our actions and our goals and decisions. And we're using the strategic plan as a way to base all of our decisions going forward. So how does it fit into the strategic plan? Where are we going as a district, and why are we making a decision this way versus that way, and how does that fit into the plan? That was the main focus of putting a strategic plan together from the board's perspective. It gives our staff a clear indication of what the goals are for the school board, and it gives the superintendent a roadmap to fill in sort of the stops along the way as to how we get there.
And the allocation of resources.
Correct.
With tight budget, it's really important to have a very clear roadmap so that you know how you're allocating the limited resources that you do have specifically targeted to those objectives that are in the strategic plan.
It's easy to chase the fad of the day or mm-hmm. the whatever the murmur is out there in the education world or even
increased
in
state
the
spending, right?
There's
I mean,
one.
You did
yeah.
pick up a little bit more money from the state this time
sure.
around.
Sure. Yes. But with our strategic plan clearly identified, it gives us marching orders going forward.
But the bond campaign is referred to in the strategic plan. Did the community mention a bond campaign, or was that primarily input from the administration and the board?
That was that came out of several sets of input, whether it was the online surveys, the in-person town hall meetings, or the day-long strategic planning session. And let me put something out there. The administration and the board were not present at the town hall meetings because we wanted to ensure that the comments made at those meetings were made by stakeholders and not influenced by my presence or the superintendent's presence. So that really was an important part of the process. We got from all of those avenues that we need to look at upgrading the buildings. Now, the verbiage is probably workshopped at the workshop and saying a bond campaign, upgrading the facilities doesn't come without funds. So the bond campaign is that natural next step.
It did come out of the exploratory facilities recommendation.
That's true.
We had a committee about a little less than a year ago, the exploratory facilities
Sam
committee.
Sam and
Kelly, yeah. mm-hmm, that were the co-chairs.
Kelly Dean.
Mm-hmm, Kelly Dean. And there were 13, 14 other people on that committee. And that recommendation was made by them as well, start a bond, exploratory bond committee.
Didn't the committee feel that their recommendations were not taken terribly seriously?
Some members of the committee felt that, but overall, it was they've been taken very seriously. In fact, they were a big basis for how we started the strategic planning process as it pertains to the learning environment. We asked the consultants to take a look at all of the plans that have been put together in the last 5 years that included facilities and academics and mission and vision and all of those different pieces of information that didn't necessarily communicate well together, and to synthesize them into recommendations from based on community input.
One of the last visits that you were here, I think, involved the renewal of the millage, which was critically a significant source of revenue for the district. I'm curious what you make of the community's attitude for a bond proposal on the heels of that renewal, or is that far enough down the road that they wouldn't feel like they're being asked for significant infusions of revenue?
I think our community is savvy enough to understand that what we asked for was a renewal of an existing operating millage the first time, and then when we come back, it will be with the intent of construction. We were very clear that the 18 mil renewal was operational dollars, that we weren't spending this on roofs and playground equipment and new buildings. But when we do go out for a bond campaign, I suspect we will engage in a very thorough education campaign as to what we're going to do with those dollars. And we got 75% in favor of renewing that millage. That's not nothing when you start talking about voter support. So we feel that they understood what they were going for. And when we come back for a bond proposal, it will be in a few years after we've made the case that it's needed.
You referred
throughout the district. I mean, that's the key point is that people, we have 30 odd facilities in our district, and 29 of them are occupied by our wonderful students and staff. And the newest facility is Pattengill at 2007, and the oldest is Eastern at 1929, and we have a variety in between all of that. And so it's really important, whatever bond proposal we put to the community, it must be district-wide. It cannot just be a single school.
Yeah. We don't want to create so-called winners and losers from
right.
a facilities perspective, and we'd like to see every student that goes to Lansing benefit from a bond project.
Absolutely.
Our guests are Peter Spadafore, president of the Lansing School Board. Yvonne Kamal Kanul is superintendent of the district. The Eastern Graduates op-ed yesterday referred to this data gathering and public meeting process. I think the word bogus was used to describe the process. There are clearly differing opinions as to the integrity of that process. What do you make of that? There appears to be quite a gulf here in terms of the integrity of that process.
Well, as I talked about recently, the claim is bogus town hall style meetings, none of them attended by school administrators, and all of them facilitated by an association with close ties to the school board president. First off, we intentionally stayed out of that process because we wanted folks that showed up, whether they were staff, students, administrators, to feel that they were in a space they could make comments freely.
And they ended up feeling like they weren't heard, though, because you weren't there.
Some did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Particularly two did. We did not hear this from others yet, and the feedback that we have received through those sessions is very positive and helped instruct the strategic plan. Close ties to the school board president. It is widely known that I used to work at the Michigan Association of School Boards, something that many saw as a benefit of my coming to the school board. Some use that to cast doubt over a process. I haven't been a part of the school board association for about 3.5 years, and the board unanimously voted to hire the association, and it is an association that does strategic plans for many school districts in the state, and they have a very good track record of success. So I just wanted to clear the air on that one, that I don't work at the MASB anymore, and they are a very useful association. We call them on a number of issues, whether it's contractual or policy related.
Okay. We have to leave it there. Much more to talk about, as always. Peter Spadafore is president of the Lansing School District. Yvonne Kamal Kanul is the superintendent of the district. And the school year is just about ready to be back. I can't believe I'm saying that already. Many thanks for joining
us. Thank you
very much.
Having us.